mesmo. Well, please take your copy of the scriptures this morning and turn with me to John, that chapter 16, which we read the first 20 or so verses of. And you are aware of our subject matter today, at least this morning, is that of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we congregate this morning in the house of God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this great truth that we can contemplate, that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, has come. We're not waiting for this still to happen. Lord, there has not been centuries of absence of the presence of God, but rather we have the outpouring has already happened. Even in Acts 10, we read of the floodgates of the Holy Ghost being poured upon the Gentiles, us, the non-Jews, the non-Israelites. And Lord, we're thankful for expanding your work to meet, Lord, our needs, to come alongside and see of those of us who are not naturally from Adam's loins, or from Abraham's loins. We are thankful, Lord, for the work of the Holy Ghost amongst us. So Lord, today, help us to put in proper place the third person of the Trinity, that we would think about the Holy Ghost aright, that we would plead for the Holy Ghost aright, and that we would be filled by the Holy Ghost aright. So do us good now this morning. Give enabling help both to preacher and hearer alike. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So last Lord's Day morning, we observe the early church in the book of Acts and how it was a new era for the believers there. And there was the need for the Holy Ghost to be given. There would be no growth. There would be no life. There would be no advancement if the Holy Ghost would not move amongst them. And it is the same for us today. We need the Holy Ghost to give us life. If we want to be like that Psalm 1 verse 3 tree, where it speaks about a tree flourishing and growing and prospering, we must be filled by the Holy Ghost. Anything less, we'll be more like chaff. And so as we begin 2023, I want you to evaluate your own life, your own walk with God's, and ask yourself, am I full of the Holy Ghost? Am I just a Christian who's surviving? Am I just a believer who's managing from day to day? Or am I daily filled with enabling power to actually serve God where I am? It's not a matter of having to go and serve God on the fields are greener on the other side. Serving God well with the Holy Ghost, where he has placed you. And so we're looking at the Holy Ghost. Last Lord's Day morning, we looked at who the Holy Ghost is. And you have that term in Scripture, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. The word ghost or spirit, same word in the original, I understand. And it's translated different ways. Both are perfectly fine. A spirit refers to a conscious being who is not made of material. That's all it means. And the Holy Ghost is a conscious being. He's a person, but not with a physical, material body. And there are, of course, many things that are not material. For instance, gravity or the wind. But the Spirit of God, when it speaks of him in the Bible, he is referred to as the Holy Spirit. He's different from any other spirit, any other ghost, as it were. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting there's ghosts roaming all over the world as Hollywood would portray. That's not the case. But it's making the point that here you have the breath of God. That's an equal way of translating the word spirit or ghost. Breath, okay? It is the holy breath of God. That means it's God himself. It's very important to understand. So the Holy Ghost is a conscious being, a person who can be grieved, lied to, can be offended, can be driven away. But understand this, and we read it in both our catechisms, both the shorter and the larger catechism, that there is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And although it's one God in three persons, they're all equal of the same honor and glory. They're all made of the same substance. Father, Son, and Spirit, equally to be glorified and to be worshipped. Then we came to consider what the Holy Ghost does. We know who he is, but what does he actually do? And people run to all the, I suppose, exciting stuff. At this point, you'll have the Pentecostals, and they'll jump in here and talk about healings and tongues and all the rest of it. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost does today. According to this book, the Holy Ghost was instrumental in creation. He was working there when the world was being created. The Holy Ghost was working on inspiration. He's the one who gave the men the very words to write. This is the Word of God as the Holy Ghost who enabled them to write it. And it was the Holy Ghost who was working there at the incarnation. We read that the Holy Ghost formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary a being, a body for Christ, God the Son, to inhabit. We read in the Word of God that he continues the work of regeneration. We observed these all last week. He is the one who brings regeneration. He takes dead sinners and gives them life. Listen, there are people, there are families, people that we know, and we look at them, we think, will they ever get saved? No response to the gospel, no desire to serve God, no love for the word, they seem to be dead. Well, let me tell you today, it is the Holy Ghost who does the work of taking dead sinners, giving them life. It doesn't matter how hard, therefore, you think someone is, it's irrelevant. It's the Holy Ghost who gives them life. Did it for you, did it for me, you can do it for others. So creation, inspiration, incarnation, regeneration, sanctification. He is the one who conforms us to the image of Christ. And again, we saw that last week. So we're picking up from there and progressing this morning. And what I want to now look at is the work, the Holy Ghost's work of formation and edification of the church. Let me say that again. It is the Holy Ghost's work to form and to edify New Testament church. And what I mean by that is, he is the one who enables the work to function and to actually grow. Would you go to the book of Acts? And we'll come back to John in a moment or two. All right, but let's go to Acts for a moment here. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to take some time here just to show you how the Holy Ghost was very much instrumental in forming and edifying the church. I mean the people of God, the body of God, Christ's people. And there is no book in the Bible that makes as many references to the Holy Ghost as the book of Acts does. In fact, there are 43 occasions when the name Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit is used. Now think about that for a minute. 43 times. That means there are multiple references to the name of the Holy Ghost in most of the chapters in the book of Acts. And so you read the book of Acts and you are blown away by the work of the Holy Ghost. He's everywhere. And I just mentioned there 43 times he is referred to by name. I'm not even talking about the amount of times you read of him working where his name's not actually mentioned, but the Holy Ghost is working. There's not a chapter where the Holy Ghost isn't working. This book clearly shows the importance of the Holy Ghost. And that's for the New Testament church to remember, that the church will not work and function without the Holy Ghost. So we ought to be praying, Lord, send us the Holy Ghost. So the best way to progress with our study this morning is to look at the book of Acts and to go through some of these verses. There are 43. I want to take you through some of them, some of the most relevant, at least for us this morning. Let's fly through them quickly here. Chapter 1, the verse 2. It says here, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now think about that verse. That verse is talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples, but he did it through the Holy Ghost. Do you get the significance of that? God the Son ministered to his disciples and did so through the Holy Ghost. So if Christ used the Holy Ghost, if that was how Christ ministered to the church, how foolish are we to think that we can go in our own strength and wisdom and see the work of God done? Whether you're evangelizing a neighbor, sharing the gospel with a child, or whatever the case may be, Christ used the Holy Ghost, and we too need the Holy Ghost. Go to verse 8. Verse 8, we know chapter 1. We read here, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So once the Holy Ghost comes, then you will be a witness. Now, let me nail something here. Maybe you feel burdened that you're not accomplishing much with family and friends and neighbors. You're not much of a witness. Maybe it's because the Holy Ghost is grieved by you. You're not full of the Spirit. You're a poor witness. Because the Holy Ghost alone saved you. You need the Holy Ghost to fill you. We're told here to go and wait for the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean you sit around doing nothing. It means you pray that the Holy Ghost will fill you, that you might be a witness. Challenging verse, isn't it? Verse 16 of the same chapter. Acts 1, verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. And all I want you to see there is this. This verse talks about the mouth of David speaking, but it was the Holy Ghost was speaking through David. And what you have there is the Holy Ghost working in the Old Testament. He is the one who was speaking through David. Through the words of David, through the inspired scriptures. The Holy Ghost was there in the Old Testament as well. Move into chapter 2 with me here. And I know those verses which we read are very familiar to you. But let's progress through these, and some other ones may not be as familiar to you. So chapter 2 in the verse 4. Here you have the infilling then of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now before we go any further in that verse, who is the word they referring to? You see that verse 4 of chapter 2? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's referring to the disciples. The very ones who in the previous chapter, in verse 14, were continuing in prayer one with the other. They were praying and the Holy Ghost filled them. Won't you see that? But they're already believers. These are people who were saved by the witness of the Holy Ghost in their hearts, and now they're being filled by the Holy Ghost for service. And of course, then they were able to speak in multiple languages to the people in that day. And that's why you have multiple language groups mentioned in verse 9. You have the of chapter 2, verse 9, the Parthians, the Medes, and so on. Those different nations are mentioned to emphasize that they were talking in different human languages. That's blinding obvious. Anyway, chapter 2, verse 38. Let's move on there. Chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter, the preacher on this day of Pentecost, then Peter said unto them, well, they're all preaching, but particularly Peter here is made note of. Then Peter said unto them, all these people that they have been preaching to, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to understand what's being said here. Peter says, repent and be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. And the idea there is simply this: at the point of salvation, they receive the Holy Ghost. That's how you're saved. You receive the Holy Ghost when you're saved. It's the first time when the Holy Ghost fills you. He gives you faith and repentance, and you believe. That's very important as we progress through this study to understand that. How do you know you're saved? The Holy Ghost has entered in. Let's keep with the study. Chapter 4 and the verse 31. Please turn there. Chapter 4, 31. As I said, we're skipping out many of the references to the Holy Ghost, but we'll pull out the ones that are most significant for us this morning. Chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, here's the same group who were saved and had been filled by the Holy Ghost. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And I point that out to you to blow out of the water any nonsense here of being saved once and then receiving this second blessing, and that's you sort it for life. Here you have the same group being, and the word filled, the same word as was used in Acts 2 is mentioned. They were filled again with the Holy Ghost. This was not a one-off experience when you're saved and then perfectly filled. No, we're continually filled by the Holy Ghost for service and for life. And that must be our challenge this morning. Do you feel you're continually filled by the Holy Ghost? Are you praying for this every day? Are you getting it? Or are we not? They were filled again by the Holy Ghost. That's why week after week, men and women, we would encourage you to come and pray with us at the prayer meeting. Come and pray, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Make us witnesses. Make us powerful. Make us effective. It's important. They prayed and were filled again. And you will notice here that prayer and the filling of the Holy Ghost goes hand in hand. Anyway, let's move to chapter 5 and the verse 3. Here you have the Holy Ghost, and his personage is emphasized here. We made reference to this, of course, last week, chapter 5 and the verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And so you can lie to the Holy Ghost. You can bear false truth. You can claim that something is true which is not true. Here is a conscious being who hears lies, who knows lies, and is driven away by lies. Now, of course, lying to the Holy Ghost was emphasized here as an awful crime and a sin before God. You ought to be truthful before the Lord. Chapter 5 and the verse 32. Move there. And we are literally just skimming over all these verses. This is a study you could do for months, but I'm just pointing these verses out to you. If you want me to text these to you, email them to you, I'll do so for your further study. Anyway, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And what I want you to see here is the unity, because the disciples here are talking about their witnesses, that we are witnesses of these things, of the work of God, of the glory of God, of the resurrection, of the crucifixion, and so on. And so is the Holy Ghost. This is the work of the church. It's also the work of the Holy Ghost. And this verse tells us that the Holy Ghost has been given to us who obey the gospel, that we would be witnesses. I want you to see that union. I want you to see that what you're doing is in perfect union with the Holy Ghost. When you witness, when you share the gospel that Jesus died for sin, he rose again, and you can be saved, you are one with the work of the Holy Ghost. And that should give you incredible boldness and authority, because you might be witnessing to people, and they listened to that, and they couldn't care less. It discourages you. When you're talking to a face of stone, or a person who has no interest, it gets overwhelmingly discouraging. But let this encourage you. You are joining in the work of the Holy Ghost.
He's working through you. Be encouraged, therefore.
Chapter 6 and the verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And here's what I want you to see. The reality is, amongst the people of God, there are some more full than others. And the early church were asked, go and look for those who are most full of the Holy Ghost. And of course, one of those men was Stephen. And Stephen was given the position of looking over the tables and money and so on. But I want you to see this. Some are more full than others. And I want that to be a challenge to you today. Because I would love for us as a church to be very much full. Every believer truly full of the Holy Ghost. That we would be like Stephen. The whole congregation of Stephens walking with God. That's what we need in this day and generation. You want to know God's will for you? That's it. Chapter 7 and the verse 51. Let's go there. Acts 7, 51. Here's a solemn text. 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did. So, therefore we observe here, you can resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist His work in your own heart and in the lives of others. He's like the dove. Remember, we saw this in the life of Noah last week. The dove only came to the clean place and brought the clean branch. And the dove only sat in a clean place. And here's the same idea here. Let's not resist the Holy Ghost. The Bible elsewhere talks about quenching the Holy Ghost, grieving the Holy Ghost in Ephesians 4. You need to be careful, men and women, because it's by our sin and by our pride that we will grieve the Holy Ghost and prevent Him working. And be careful of that in the church, that you're not preventing the Holy Ghost from working. Be careful in your own life that you're not the one preventing the Holy Ghost from working. Listen, you live in sin. You do that which is wrong. Do not expect the Holy Ghost to work powerfully through you. But grieve Him who empowers us. Furthermore, let's go to chapter 8 and verse 15. Chapter 8 and 15. Here you have another group of individuals. Believers, the disciples come to minister to them. And in verse 15 of chapter 8, who, when they were come down, that's some of the disciples who assist Philip here, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Here's believers, and they're praying for other believers that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Think about the mission field. God, they're praying for missionaries far away that they would receive the Holy Ghost, that they would be filled, that they would be empowered. It's good to pray not just for yourself, but for one another. You ever sit down and pray through the week for the people who sit beside you in church? Lord, I sit beside whoever it is. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Fill our church members, our committee, our session. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill my spouse, my children. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. That's what's happening here. The apostles prayed and they received. There's more to that text, but that's sufficient for now. Chapter 10 and the verse 38. Chapter 10, 38. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Let that sink in for a second. How God, that's the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth
That's the Son, with the Holy Ghost.
And with the Holy Ghost he had power.
Who went about being filled with the Holy Ghost, doing good. And yes, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Indeed, the Holy Ghost was in him.
You see it again. Jesus Christ, God the Son, was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Do not miss, therefore, the importance of being filled. Christ possessed the Holy Ghost. Because remember, the body that he had was like you and me.
That body needed to be filled by the Spirit of God. You see, Jesus Christ was not some kind of Superman. He was a man like us. God the Son indwelt that man. The Holy Ghost is required for anyone to live and serve for God, even the Son of God. Remarkable, isn't it?
Yet we would dare to presumably live and not worry too much about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the enabling power of the Holy Ghost.
Chapter 10, 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And I take you to this verse because this is us, the Gentile people, the people who weren't of Israel. And here you have now a very distinct filling of a Gentile group who were not followers of Christ, but they were pagan in their upbringing, but now they're following God and they're saved, and we're told that they were filled by the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, the Israelites came and said to Peter, what are you doing? Fellowshipping with Gentiles, preaching with Gentiles. Now look what happened then. Chapter 11. Peter had to come and give a report of what had happened and so on, to report that the Holy Ghost had done a great work in the Gentiles as well. Chapter 11, verse 16. Chapter 11:16, Peter's given his defense at Jerusalem, reporting what has done. Verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them, that's the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And the point being made is that the Holy Ghost is poured out upon mankind. It doesn't matter what tongue you speak with, what color your skin is, what background you have, whether you're a son of Abraham or not, it's irrelevant. The Holy Ghost is available for all, thank the Lord. Let's go to chapter 13. Now, I'm only going to take you to four more here, and then we'll see where we're at. So, chapter 11. Let's go to chapter 13 and the verse 2. Chapter 13, the verse 2. And here you have the Holy Ghost again. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this is the disciples, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So here you have the Holy Ghost setting apart two particular men, in this case, to go and be missionaries. Well, the Holy Ghost led this group of believers. Now, this would not have been an audible voice. This would not have been an audible voice saying, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas. No, it was the Holy Ghost working in their hearts. This congregation are meeting together and they're praying about particular matters. And then the Lord said to them all, this burden came on all their souls, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them. Do you see how the Lord set these men apart? The Holy Ghost is working here and preparing particular workers for particular areas of the work. Pray for that, that even from our midst, the Lord would call, prepare, and send other men and other women into particular works of God for his glory. Chapter 13, and by the way, before I leave that verse, you'll notice that the Holy Ghost took Paul and Barnabas, and from a human perspective, they were two of the best. And he sent them to be missionaries. And there's something wrong sometimes with the mentality that we should keep our best men at home and send lesser men to the mission field. The Lord took Paul, Saul, and Barnabas, two mighty men, two of the best men, sent them. Just a point in passing there.
Chapter 13 and the verse 52. 13:52.
And look what you read again. And the disciples were filled. Again, you have the Spirit of God filling them again. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You see these two going hand in hand as well? Joy in the Holy Ghost. It is an enjoyable thing to be filled by the Holy Ghost. It is enjoyable to be filled by God. This is what we're designed to be, filled with God. And pray that this be your motivation as well, to enjoy your walk with God, be filled with the Spirit of God. Let it motivate you. You'll be all the happier to be filled.
Let's move to chapter 15. And then we've one more, so two more verses here, okay? So chapter 15 and the verse 28. This is not the only time we read of this. It happens on a couple of occasions. But in Acts 15 and the verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and so on. I'm taking you to that verse for this reason. Go back to verse 28. We read here that it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Who are the us there? I'll tell you who it is. It's the governing body of the church, the apostles and the elders. I want you to go back to the beginning of chapter 15, because chapter 15 is the foundational text for Presbyterianism. And we form our presbytery around this pattern. Here you had James playing the part of a chairman, and you had all the disciples and the elders together, and they're debating over an issue. There's a problem in the church. They're all discussing it. This is a presbytery meeting. That's the reality. Now look at chapter 15, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. So it's a significant and important doctrinal matter in the church. And what happens? The apostles, who were 12 particular men, but with them the elders, more ordinary men, okay, not apostles. And they met together about this question and were told then that the Holy Ghost and us have agreed to set these rules upon you, to abstain from fornication and from things strangled and so on and so forth. And all I'm showing you is this, that the Holy Ghost was working through these men debating. And you know, you get weary listening to sometimes people saying the Bible was made by men. There was a council of men who chose what books should be contained in the Bible. Amen, praise God. Here you have it in Acts 15 as well. Men meeting together and making a decision which was a ruling doctrinal position for the church to obey. But we are told the Holy Ghost was with them in it. And so men do meet, presbyteries do meet, councils do meet. And what we're looking for is for the Holy Ghost to work through that body. And I would ask you, pray for our presbytery. Pray for the session and committee here as well. But it must be noted, here you have a governing body being influenced and given authority by the Holy Ghost. So read verse 28 again there, Acts 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, and those things are then mentioned hereafter. Now one more verse, chapter 16, the verse 6. Chapter 16, the verse 6, and here we read, now when they had gone through Phrygia, that's Paul and company, Paul and Silas, when they had gone through Phrygia,
and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God told them, don't go to that place. The Holy Ghost said, you're not going to preach there. And some people might read and be aghast at that God said no to that area. But they would not hear the gospel from the lips of Paul and Silas. But that's the reality. God closed the door. Now I let you do your homework. Did that area receive the gospel ever? I'm not going to tell you. I'll let you go and work it out yourself. Not too hard to work out. Go and read the book of Acts. You'll see the answer. But the point I'm making here is that God closed the door for these men at this time. The Lord leads and guides his people. Not every closed door is of the devil. Sometimes it's God who closes the door. And we ought therefore to be sensitive to the influence and the leading of the Spirit of God. Time has gone, and we have a lot of work to do on this subject. I'm going to stop there. We might come back to it, we might not. We'll see what happens. But all I want you to see, and I think it's sufficient at this point, we didn't even get a living at John 16 there, but that's some other day we can do that. But anyway, all I want you to see this morning is this. Here you have Acts. Do you see the importance of the Holy Ghost? Now, if you as an individual or we as a congregation grieve the Holy Ghost so that the Holy Ghost would withdraw himself, can you see how the work will never progress? How you will not progress? We'll be more like the chaff than we are like the tree that was planted and flourishing. And so at the beginning of 2023, how are you doing personally? Are we filled by the Holy Ghost? Are we enabled to be witnesses? Or do we need to pray, Lord, there are men like Stephen who were particularly filled. Lord, fill me. Fill my fellow congregational members. And so with unity, we ought to pray this year that God would fill us with the Holy Ghost, that we might be witnesses of Jesus Christ, to witness with power and ability that Jesus saves. We would see our loved ones. One for Christ.